All right, let's build a choptinal texture that feels like it came straight out of jungle history, but still lands clean inside a modern Ableton Live 12 arrangement. In this lesson, we're not just making something lo-fi and calling it a day. We're shaping a rhythmic texture with two jobs at once. The chops need to hit with crisp, needle-like transients, and the body of the sound needs to stay dusty, band-limited, and warm in the mids. That balance is what gives old-school D&B its magic. Tight drums, heavy sub, and this gritty little vinyl phrase that dances in the gaps instead of stepping on the groove. Start by choosing a source that already has character. Don't overthink it. A vocal stab, a horn hit, a piano chord, a dusty chord loop, even a bit of vinyl crackle with a musical tone in it can work beautifully. The important thing is that it has mid-range identity. We want something that sounds like a record fragment, not a pristine pop sample. Drag that audio into a new audio track and immediately decide what role it's going to play in the arrangement. Is it an intro texture, a drop layer, a breakdown bed, a call and response accent after the snare? This choice matters, because in D&B, arrangement is everything. If the texture is trying to do too much, it'll blur the drums. If it's too passive, it becomes wallpaper. Treat it like part of the percussion section. Now, if the source is musical, try Warp in Complex Pro. If it's more rhythmic or slice-based, use Beats. For chopped material, Beats mode with preserve set to 1/16 or 1/8 can give you a clean starting point. Keep the clip gain conservative so you've got headroom for processing. We're going to shape the sound, not smash it immediately. Here's the first big move. Put the clip into arrangement view and chop it there. Don't leave it as a loop running forever. We want phrasing. We want a little story across the bars. Split the audio where the phrase naturally breathes. Then lay out a 2-bar, 4-bar, or 8-bar pattern. A classic jungle-style approach is to leave space on the downbeat for the kick and sub, then answer on the offbeat or just after the snare. That creates motion without crowding the drum programming. A really useful tactic here is to introduce small timing differences. Nudge some chops 10 to 20 milliseconds late so they feel laid back and human. Keep a few exactly on grid so the ear has something to lock onto. And don't be afraid to mute one or two slices in each phrase. Those tiny gaps are what make the rhythm feel alive. If you want tighter control, load the source into simpler and use slice mode. That's especially useful if you want the chop to feel like an instrument you can play and rearrange. In simpler, use slice by transients or beat divisions depending on the source. Trim the slice start so the transient hits immediately, and add a tiny fade, maybe 2 to 8 milliseconds, so you don't get clicks. Keep the body intact for now. Don't high pass too early unless the low end is genuinely in the way. Now let's get that crisp transient edge. If your chops feel too soft, duplicate the track and split the rolls. One layer becomes the body, the other becomes the attack. On the attack layer, use a shorter, more high-passed version of the same material or shape it with a very fast volume envelope. Then use drum bus for punch, with transients around 10 to 30% and a little drive if needed. Saturator with soft clip-on can add that sharp edge without sounding overcooked. The goal is crisp, not clicky. If it starts fighting the kick or snare, back off the drive and shorten the slice tail. Now for the dusty midrange. This is where the old record character lives. We want the sound to feel worn, papery, and slightly band-limited, mostly in the 300 Hz to 5 kHz zone. Insert EQ8, saturator, and auto-filter as your core chain. High pass the chop somewhere, around 120 to 180 Hz, if it has low-end rumble. If the upper mids get brittle, dip gently around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Then use auto-filter to low-pass the top somewhere around 7 to 11 kHz, depending on how worn you want it to feel. A little drive in auto-filter can add grit, but use it tastefully. We want dust, not fizz. One trick that instantly makes this feel more alive is automation. Even a small filter cutoff movement over 4 or 8 bars can make the texture sound like it's breathing. In old-school style D&B, that tiny drift is huge. It stops the loop from sounding static and makes it feel like someone's actually writing the sample live. At this point, resampling becomes your best friend. Once the chop feels right, route the track to a new audio track set to resampling or internal input and record 1 or 2 bars of the processed sound. This is a classic advanced move because it freezes your decisions. You're no longer endlessly tweaking a source. Now you're editing a finished musical object. It also saves CPU and makes slicing way faster. After resampling, consolidate the best phrase and duplicate it for different sections. Reverse one slice for a switch up. Make a half-density version for the intro. Create a darker, dustier version for the drop support. This is where the arrangement starts to feel like a real record instead of a loop demo. Now let's lock the groove. A Choptinyl texture should be rhythmic, but not robotic. Use groove pull swing if it helps the feel, maybe somewhere around 54-58% for a classic shuffle vibe. Keep the drums tighter than the texture. Let the sample breathe around the kick and snare instead of landing on every accent. In jungle, some of the best motion comes from what's not being played. Think in sections. In the intro, keep it sparse and filtered. In the pre-drop, open the filter a little and add more transient detail. In the drop, back off the density so the drums and bass can hit hard, but keep one recognizable chop motif so the listener still hears the identity of the texture. Then for a switch-up, remove the layer for a beat or a full bar and bring it back with a reversal or a filter snap. That kind of contrast is pure DNB energy. Stereo width deserves caution here. Vinyl textures can get messy fast once saturation and filtering are in play. Use utility and keep the width controlled, often around 80-100%, sometimes even narrower. Keep everything below 150-200 Hz mono safe or removed entirely. If the texture starts fighting the hats or cymbals, narrow it before you brighten it. In darker rollers, a slightly narrower, more focused texture often sits better than a wide one. Now think about automation as arrangement, not decoration. You can automate auto-filter cutoff to open gradually over 8 bars, then snap it shut before the drop. You can push saturator drive up by a dB or 2 into a fill. You can make drum bus transients rise in the final bar before the drop. You can widen the texture in the breakdown, then narrow it in the drop. These little moves make the sample feel like part of the composition. If you want the texture to feel embedded in the track rather than pasted on top, send it to a texture bus. On that bus, use a glue compressor with just 1-2 dB of gain reduction, a light EQ cleanup, and maybe a tiny bit of saturator for cohesion. Don't squash it. You still want the chop to breathe. The bus is there to glue the sound into the record, not flatten its character. Here's a really useful ear check. Listen to the texture at low volume. If it still reads, your transient to mid balance is probably good. If it disappears completely, it may be too dependent on brightness or loudness. That's a strong sign you need a better attack/body split, not just more level. Also, keep one signature chop. Pick one slice that becomes the anchor of the phrase. Let it recur across sections so the listener has something familiar to latch onto, even as the arrangement evolves. That single recognizable piece can do a lot of heavy lifting. If you want to push it further, try on a /B/C texture system. Make one version crisp and punchy, one version filtered and worn, and one version reversed or smeared for transitions. Then swap them by section. That's often cleaner than automating everything on one lane. You can also create a call and response feel. Put a brighter, shorter chop on the first half of the bar, then answer with a darker, longer tail on the second half. That kind of phrasing is very old school, very crate digger, and it gives the groove a spoken quality without using a vocal. One more advanced tip, split the transient and the body with a duplicate chain. One track can be high-passed, short, and sharp. The other can be band-limited, saturated, and a little softer. Blend them until the chop feels both tactile and aged. That two-layer approach is often the easiest way to get both clarity and grime. For the homework, build a three-part arrangement from one chopped vinyl source. Make an 8-bar intro with sparse, filtered texture and at least one empty bar. Then make an 8-bar drop support section with fewer slices, sharper transients, and no low-end overlap with the kick and sub. Finish with a 4-bar switch-up that includes a reversed slice, one density dropout, and one automation move that changes the feel without adding a new sound. Use only stock Ableton Live 12 devices, resample at least once, and test it in mono at low volume. If you do this right, the chopped vinyl layer won't feel like decoration. It'll feel like part of the identity of the tune. Crisp on the edges, dusty in the mids, and locked into the jungle swing. That's the sound. That's the vibe.